You are listening to BensTorah.com.
I say, Umavur Khan, the Yod say, what's the tchum afilu amo loike? So I have a problem with this immediately. How much do you have to exceed the tchum to be loike? He see, I don't know, if you take his words literally, it sounds like only if you exceed the tchum by an amo, do you get malchus. I would think the moment you exceed the tchum period, you get malchus. Wouldn't you think so? Why does he add the word amma? Shouldn't it be a mavur kan diyotze chutz l'tchum loike, period? What is he saying by a filo amma? Miriam, you mean you might think it has to be much more than that? Or is he being, what is he saying? The shear is an amma? I'm not sure. In other words, let me ask you, if someone would exceed the tchum literally by just taking a step over the tchum and having 2 feet over the tchum, would that not constitute the lav? Is there a requirement of going over the tchum by an amma? I think that's a little strange. I'm not sure if that's correct or if I'm reading it correctly. It seems strange to me. The Nira, and it appears the Minchas Chinuch says, Davka al ha'ama shiyotze tekef. Hainu ama harishoina. Meaning like this. A person goes ahead and exceeds the tchum. And he keeps on walking. Would he incur many malkios as he continues to transgress the Isser Tchum? So there's a Mishnah in Makkos, in Elohim Alaykin, that discusses a similar scenario, which the Minchas Chinuch will refer to later. There's a Nazir. The Nazir is about to drink wine, about to drink Yayin. And you give him a Hasra. The Hasra is Al Tishta Yayin. And you tell him even what the Lav is, Al Tishta Yayin, and you bring him the pasuk, you do everything that's necessary for a proper hasra, even the einesh, according to one opinion in the Gemara. And he starts drinking the yayin. And after that hasra, he keeps drinking and drinking. The Mishnah says he will only get one malchus unless you continually give him hasrais after or before each additional kezayis. So the Gemalkus is on the first Kezias, and it will be on every additional Kezias or Revius Yayin, as provided there's a Hasra before every additional Revius. So here, the Minchas Chinuch is saying that if someone transgresses the Isser Tchum and exceeds the Isser Tchum, and as soon as he goes, you give him Hasra before he goes over. As soon as he goes over an Amma, and once again, I'm a little confused about what the Shir Amma is. But let's say immediately as he exceeds the Tchum and goes over the Tchum, there is a Hasra prior to him exceeding the Tchum. He then traverses the Tchum and transgresses the Isser Tchumim. He gets one set of malchus. And if he continues walking, he will not get another set of malchus. Unless there is an additional hasra. So if I would ask you right now, what is the corollary in tchumim from nazir? Nazir is that you give him a hasra not to drink yayin. He drinks one revius of yayin. And prior to him drinking another revius, you give him hasra. Then if he drinks another revius, he gets malchus twice. So what would be the corollary by tchum? So I might have thought initially the corollary by tchum is what? If he goes 2,000 amas, he would get malchus with a prior hasra before exceeding 2,000 amas. Now, when would he get his second set of malchus? If it's exact corollary, then he would have to transgress the shear again. by going another 2,000 amas with an additional hasra. Does that make sense to you or not? Or would you say it's not an exact corollary? So let's see what the Minchas Chinuch says. So keep that in mind. What is the exact corollary between a Nazar Shishoysa Yayin Kol Hayom, a Kohen that's Matame Lameisim Kol Hayom, someone who is wearing Kilayim Kol Hayom, that every that you counter this transgressing, you must give him a Hasra before he commences to add an additional shear. The shear for Nazir is Revius. Every Revius requires a new Hasra. For Kilayim, the Gemara has another formulation. Every moment that he is wearing the Big Day Kilayim, Big Day Pishut Velivush, as long as he keeps it on with the potential to undress and dress, that Shir Shehiyah is another shear. And Matame Lameisim is also, he touches the mace, he recoils, and now he has the, is about to touch the mace again, a new mace of Matame, you give him another Hasra. What would be, and then there's a whole discussion in the Gemara, let's say he touches a mace, a coin touches a mace, and keeps his hand on the mace. So the Gemara discusses how long is that shear. Is it like Kilayim, that it's Kidei that he should withdraw and re-engage? There's a big discussion about it in the Gemara in Makkos. But nevertheless, you see that for a second set of Malkus, there is some given shear that you have to go ahead and transgress to now compound the original Malkus. What would be that shear by Tchumen? So if it's exact corollary to, let's say, Nazir, I would think after the first 2,000 amos or gimel parsois, whichever is an Isser Doraisa, either Itchum Doraisa, or Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Akiva, 2,000 amos, the next would be a Hasra to say, don't go another 2,000 amos. And if it's gimel parsois, like the Rambam says, or after gimel parsois, before gimel parsois, you say, Al Telech Yoisim Gimel Parsois, he then exceeds that, and you then give him another Hasra, Al Telech Od Gimel Parsois. Would that not be the exact corollary to Nazir? I think if you're going to look at it in exact terms, that would be it. However, the Minchas Chinuch doesn't feel that's the case. The Minchas Chinuch feels that even prior to traversing and transgressing an additional shear, you could still go ahead and get another set of Malkus based on transgressing a lesser shear. Now, what is that lesser shear? So first he says, if you give him a Hasra and he's gone beyond the Tchum and Amma, Davka ala Amma Shiyatza, take him. Hainu Amma Harishayna. The first Amma is what incurs the first chi of Malkus, based on the Hatzra prior to the first Isser Tchum that he transgressed. Aval im hisrubai, oid, correct, oid hapam, but let's say you give a second Hatzra, like the case in Nazir, where you continue to give the Nazir Hatzrais. Oid hapam, al hashnia, what if you went ahead and now gave him Hasra on the second Amma after the Tchum? Ein loike. It would not be Malkus. Why? Kevon de Rishoy Lelech Od O Shte Amais or Arba Amais. Correct? Or Abba Amas O Shehu Borolo Arba Amais. We learned this week that there's a Gemara. There's a Mishnah, I think, on Mem Zayin and Beis, a Gemara Mem Chesem Aleph, that says the Shita of not Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, but the Shita of Chachamim versus Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, is if you find yourself outside of the area of a Tchum, then you are allowed Dalet Amos. There's a big discussion in the Gemara, when does that Dalet Amos come into play? in the Mishnah of Mem Zayin Amud Beis, you fall asleep without coming into a city to be Kanish Visa. One man the Amr says you have 2,000 Amos. One man the Amr says you have Dalit Amos. But everyone agrees that if you find yourself outside the Tchum, even Shalom Birshus, you will at least have Dalit Amos to be able to manipulate and be able to maneuver. So therefore, since once he's taken that step, the first step out of the Tchum, he's got another Arba Amos of Rishus, correct? Therefore, there would be no Malkus if you gave him a second Hasra immediately after he leaves the original Tchum. Rock Imiyatza Ode Chutz Ligvula. Shenitna Lo HaTaira, right? L'chol Mar Kide Isla. Right.
Now, can I ask you something? I don't understand how this all works, because over there we're talking about that you found yourself outside the tchum when Shabbos started. You woke up, whatever it was. Here, you were kenush visa on banish moshes, normal case, and then on Shabbos you were yotzeh chutz l'mekomo. So I would think logically that you can only get Malkus and you would never get Malkus again. Let's say New York State makes a rule that on Monday you can't leave the boundaries of New York State. And I go out of New York State, I go into New Jersey. I'll get punished for it. That I continue going on in New Jersey, I can go as far as I want. The issue is I went out of the Tchum. I went out of my boundaries, which I was allowed to. How would I get any other Malkus at all? It's a one-time thing.
Okay, so you're disagreeing whole assumption of his that you could get multiple Malkus on Tchumen, correct?
I don't understand. I'm not saying I disagree. I don't understand why. Why would you get more than one Malkus? Al Yetzei Ish Chutz L'Mekomo. That's it. I went out. Doesn't matter if I went out 100 yards behind my Mekomo. Yes, there's a shear, and when am I going to be considered that I went Chutz L'Mekomo? But once I did that, what does it matter how far I went? I'm not allowed to go out of these boundaries. What does it matter?
He seems to feel that you are continuing to somehow desecrate the law.
I don't see how. It's don't go outside of your boundary. I went outside my boundary. Did I go a mile behind my boundary, 10 miles behind? What does it matter? I can't go where 2,000 Amos or Gimel Parsos from the place where I was Kanu Shvisa. It's not like a chilo where I'm over every kazayas. I don't see why it should be, but all right.
Comparing this to the case in Makis of, let's say, Nazir Alkitame Lemesim in Kilayim, it must be, I think, that you're correct. You have to rethink, and I was trying to rethink exactly what the definition of this love is. Is the love just to displace yourself a certain distance from where you started Shabbos? Because part of the Chiyuv Shabbos is to create a domicile for Shabbos, and more than a certain distance is uprooting your domicile, and uprooting your domicile in itself is considered to be what? An Isser. Therefore, once I've uprooted it, who cares if I continue to uproot it? However, if the Isser Tchumim, I was thinking, is an Isser Halicha, meaning the Torah said, we don't want you walking this much on Shabbos, then I can understand that it's the Maisa Halicha that is Isser.
Okay.
As a result of the Maisa Halicha, it's like a Maisa Achila. You're continuing to aggravate the Isser as you continue to venture further. Or maybe not, or maybe you could still envision this idea of multiple Malkus, even with the idea it's displacement. Because every time you displace yourself further, you're further aggravating the Torah's dictum of retaining a certain domicile. So you're right. The first thing we have to accept in this Minchas Chinuch, you're 100% correct, is a definition of the law. And to see what is the nature of this law, the Minchas Chinuch takes it as a dover parshat, that this law can be further aggravated. Meaning even after you have transgressed the basic Isur Tchum, if you then for a moment are told don't go any further, and we're not sure how much further, but there is in the Minchas Chinuch's mind this idea of going further can further transgress it in order to actually make you liable for a second set of Malkus, correct?
Yeah, or maybe there's another way to understand it. That, yeah, of course, it's not like the first way I felt. It's just a one-time displacement. But you're not allowed to go chutz l'mekomo, which is, let's say, gimel parsos. Once you go gimel parsos because you uprooted yourself from your domicile, while you did it be'isser, you're now kona another domicile. But that domicile is now only good for 4 amos or 2 amos or whatever, or 1 amos, whatever it is. And then each time you go that other amma or 4 amos or whatever you are, you keep on being kona a new domicile, and you keep on being over it. But it's not because you just compounded the first iser. You know, you went out and you went out more. It's just because each time you're kona a new shvisa. Normally you kona shvisa. What?
According to you, it's a new.
Once you go out, once you reach 2,000 amas, the Torah gives you 4 amas or whatever it is. That's it. Once you go past that, you're done. And now you're kind of, that's your shvisa. But now you don't have another 2,000 amas. Now you just have another 4 amas.
I was thinking.
In a case with Nevela or Nozir, there's a difference if it's Behelim Achas or not. In other words, if it's not Behelim Achas, that alone divides the Heftza or the Isser. Over here, arguing with Reb Shai, but we have to ascertain what makes it a helam and what not. You know, in other words, every am is another helam. It's behelam achas. It's kama halamos. I think that's usually the definition of kama. If a person does the same iser many times or not, if he does a behelam achas, it's one long iser.
But that's all when we're talking about the Indian of Chatos and Shogeg. Right. Let's talk about what's Mazed. You're Mazed.
You have to differentiate between Korban Chatos and between an Isser, Lav, and Malkos and Oinshin. When it comes to Chatos, the Rav is 100% correct. The Helam Echad is what is not Mechayev more than one Chatos. You need definitely either Guf and Mechlokim or Shemos Mechlokim for many chatos, or the same Isser, but many different halamas.
But let's use your marshal. Let's use your marshal with the Nozir.
That's right. That's the Mishnah in Makkos's marshal. And the Mishnah in Makkos says, Beferish, you warn the Nozir before the first cup, he drinks it, and he will get Makkos, a second Malkos on the second cup, if you give him an additional hasra. So it's mashma, the hasrois create chiluke malchus like gufos machlokim or shemus machlokim or different halamas do by chatas. Meaning it's the hasra, the Mishnah says, that helps divide the different yisurim for different einshin. That's a very Marcus.
That was your introduction. So we here could be the same thing.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, Shai is saying an interesting thing. Shai is saying something different than I was thinking. I was trying to create the second set of Malkus as a continuation of the first Isser Tchum. Shai is saying a different Mahalach. His Mahalach is Einachinami. The first Tchum is done. But after the first Isser Tchum is done, he has now violated his initial domicile, but now created a new temporary domicile. And now this new domicile has the same restrictions as the first. And now he'd get Malkus by not transgressing the first domicile, but now transgressing the second new domicile. That is chutz from the first chum.
I understand. But if you're going to parallel apples with apples, pardon the thing, the marshal and nozer could drink one cup that has five reviyasin in it, or you can have five separate cups with each one has a different reviyas, and you divide it however you want. But if we're going to go along with the helam, where even for the malchus itself or the hasra, anyway you want to do it, let's say he's going to drink five reviyasin in one big fat receptacle, or we can be mafalpa what divides it.
Your case would be done with two, that just the way the nazir, if he drinks a big cup with five reviyasin in it, and he got one asra on that, he's going to get one malchus, because there's no separation between each reviyas and asra. The same thing if a guy is kohen shvisa before Shabbos.
Wait. So what about five cups with the same?
Let's do the one cup. The parallel to the case of tchum is a guy's kohen shvisa in his town, and he takes one long trip. He gets asra. Don't go outside of, let's say, the 2,000 amas or the three parsas. And he takes one long continuous walk of 15 parsas. He only gets one malchus, just like the five reviyas in the one cup. But if he walks three parsas and then he stops and then he gets another asra, now it's like drinking two different cups.
And who's arguing with that?
No one. Okay.
So, okay, but now what about five cups without asra?
Or
15 parsas. And he stopped, and he had a lunch, and then he went another three, and he stopped. If you're going to compare it, then you have to compare it. Whatever's a cup over here is a stop.
You need a new hasra each time to be mechalad, like in the case of the nozer. If he gets a second hasra on the second cup,
definitely need a new.
You need a new hasra. Well, it doesn't matter if you stop. This is considered one continuous walk. You take a break, you know, but that's
okay. So you're saying the hasra is the one that divides it up. I'm not arguing.
Yeah.
So let's see how the Minchas Chinuch deals with this issue. He says there will not be another Malkus until he now exceeds his new Gvul. Right? Ein loike Malkus Shenis, right? You do get a second Malkus. Imiotza od chutz li Gvula. Now, what is the definition of Gvula? So he learns the definition of gvulo. It's not like I posited at the very beginning of the shir. It's another 2,000 amos or another gimel parsos. That's not true. Because now the Torah, shenitnu lo ha-Torah, the Torah gives him the whole market, the islay, gives him dalet amos.
According to what we just said, it would have to come out that he got a second hasra. Is that correct?
Yeah, he's saying he gets a second. Of course, he only gets another malchus with a second asra. But how much does he go before he gets a second malchus? He doesn't have to go another 2,000 amas. He just goes four amas. It's a new space definition now. And the way I'm saying it is that once you violated your first mekoma, you don't get another 2,000 amas. Now the Torah gave you a restriction. Your new domicile is only good for four amas.
Whole new measurement for the second Malkus. Not another Gilman Parsos. It's not another Alpayim Amos. It's exactly like Shai said. It fits in perfectly. That you've defined a new domicile and now you are transgressing that new domicile because now it's Dalet Amos, and when you transgress the Dalet Amos now, that's enough to be Chutz L'Gvula. But then he says a very strange thing.
The chiddush in this whole thing is that you see that you can acquire a domicile on Shabbos itself. Before that, we only thought Ben Hashmoshes before Shabbos when you acquire your domicile. He's saying
it's not the Shabbos. It's the Issa that defined the domicile.
Okay, but it happens
like
on
eating,
Shabbos.
It's like eating a gazayas or eating the or drinking the wine. That defines it.
But before that, we learned that your mekama is only defined by Ben Hashmoshes before Shabbos. But
everything now is mutter. That's how defines it. Once you made an Issa,
Howie, you're on mute.
I don't know how to unmute. Let me see.
Okay, now you're good.
Okay, by the way, last week we learned about Bizdal Adams. And we learned that if Nachrim transport you from your house, Chutz L'Tchum, you were stuck there and you have Dalet Amos. And really, to begin with, all the Edom, if you recall, that came for Kiddush HaChodesh on Shabbos or Yom Tov, on Shabbos, because they were able to be Mechal of Shabbos because of Kiddush HaChodesh, normally would be left with only Dalet Amos. So there is a concept of Dalet Amos. The Minchas Chinuch wanted to know last time, if you recall, what is the marker for this Dalet Amos? How do you know there is such a thing? So it's actually a Gemara in Erevim in Chesam Ralph that says, Minayin l'Dalet Amos, Minahani Milu, Minayin l'Dalet Amos, from the same pasuk, right before, this is Parshas Bashalach, correct? It's not
Bashalach.
Yeah. Can't hold you responsible, especially the Balei Kriya. But this coming week, Bashalach, the pasuk Al Yetze Ishmim Komo is preceded by the phrase, I think in the same pasuk, V'shavu Ish Tachta. A man should go ahead and sit under his domain. And the Gemara learns how big is his domain. So the Gemara says a man is 3 amos high, and we give him another ama either to move and maneuver, or we give him another ama for Pishut Yadayim. But nevertheless, the Gemara learns out Dalet Amos from Ish Shavu Ish Tachta. So that the Gemara has a limit for Dalet Amos. So that limit for Dalet Amos, Shai, is only a limit for Dalet Amos as it concerns those Dalet Amos being necessitated on Shabbos when he finds himself out of his Isser Tchum. The Lachol Mark in the Islam. Now, before I get into the next discussion, I'm going to mention something very interesting that the Avnei Nezer brings up. The Avnei Nezer wants to know what's the nature of these Dalet Amos? Meaning, is it a Kula or is it a Chumra? Would you say that really a priori, or would you say L'chayra Bashkafer Yishayna, the guy finds himself outside the Tchum, he should be allowed at this point another Tchum. Meaning like Shai says, if you go ahead and create a new Makom Shvisa, L'chara, you should be given the same latitude as the first Makom Shvisa. And now the Avnei Nezer says, maybe the Dalet Amos is what? Is actually a Chumra. That the fellow really should be given a full new Shir Tchum. But since he finds himself out of the Tchum, there's a Chumra. And the Chumra is to go ahead and to limit him to Dalet Amos. Or is it a Kula that really, Bahashkafa Rishayna, a guy finds himself outside the Tchum? That's it. You're outside the Tchum. You can't move at all. Period. You're stuck. Dalet Amos is somehow a Kula. So the Avnei Nezer has this Chakira. Furthermore, he says, you have to know that there's a difference, Avnei Nezer says. Al Yetze Ish Mim Koima is allowed. Because Al Pen, right, is always allowed. The restriction of Shavu Ish Tachtav is an Aseh. So when you leave the Dalet Amos, are you over the Lav, he wants to know, Al Yetze, or are you just over the Aseh of a Shavu Ish Tachta? Now that's a very interesting question, because if you're only over the Aseh, L'chaira, after you have transgressed the initial Tchum, and you now have a restriction of Dalet Amos, maybe that restriction of the additional Dalet Amos is only an Isser Aseh, and not an Isser Lav, and might not be Mechayev Yumalkus. Those are the Avnei Nezer's Ha'aris on Dalet Amos. However, the Minchas Chinuch disagrees. And he says, once you've gone outside your new gvul of Dalet Amos, you get Malkus Shanus. You get Malkus for a second time. So evidently, he's disagreeing with the Hara of the Avnei Nezer, who says what? Who says that transgressing Dalet Amos is only a problem of being over and atzei, of a shovel ish tachta. Because that's the marker in the Gemara, Erevim, and Chesem, and Aleph, of Minayin LaDalet Amos. Now, I was thinking, can you reconcile the Avnei Nezer and the Minchas Chinuch? That could the Minchas Chinuch say there is still Malkus, even though the Shavu'ish Ish Tachtov is only an Asay? Is there a way to reconcile them?
Well, I would say that it defines Mimkomo. The first pasuk defines the second pasuk. That's his place.
Okay, so Tzvi, I agree with what you're saying. I see you're saying the exact Gevaldik Sfarah that I wanted to say with a little different twist. So let me tell you what I was thinking and tell me if you are just articulating what I am saying a bit better. There is a discussion in Beitza, Yud Beis Amar Aleph, of the concept of mitoch. Mitoch shahutla l'tzarech hutla, mitoch shahutla l'tzarech hutla shaloi l'tzarech. So the Gemara says, what about if somebody goes ahead and is shoychet an oila on yontif? That shechita is shaloi l'tzarech, correct?
Right.
Because you don't eat an oila.
You are listening to Ben's Torah.
And it says you're like it. So Taisvus asks, I don't understand. Why would you be like it? All your oivers and asay, because it really, there's a halacha of acheh asel l'chol nefesh. And really, mitok shohud l'tzarech hulud nam shaloi l'tzarech. However, there's a special limud of lowly gavoya. Excuse me?
Lowly gavoya.
So he says, Tosafot says, why in the world will Malkus get, why would this get Malkus? L'chor, you're only over the asay of lowly gavoya. So Tosafot says, what the asay does is it reinstitutes and defines the law. Meaning the asay of lo v'lo l'gvaya is now not just a separate nuis or asay, but it is coming to be magala and to go ahead and to define the law. So even if you say like the Avnei Nezer, it's only an isser asay, according to Taisvus, and maybe this is what the Minchas Chinuch would answer the Avnei Nezer, you're correct, it's not a law in itself. But just like lo v'lo l'gvoa, according to Taisus of Beitzi and Beis Amar Aleph, defines the law of what? The law of Shechita, the law, right? The law in the heter of Mitoich, and it leaves you open to the Isser law of Shechita. So too, the Asay here, v'shavu ish tachtav, helps define for you the barriers and parameters of the Isser Al Yetze Ishmim Kaima. That seems similar to what you're saying, Tzvi, no?
Sort of, yes. But, is that all the lumbus? It's just
just a mocker from Taisus and Beitza.
But if the Avnei Nezer would hold if the Avnei Nezer would hold like you're saying, that you'd actually get Malkus, and he would hold like the Minchas Chinuch, then what does he gain by his whole lamdas? What's the point of his whole lamdas? Just say, like the Minchas Chinuch, that when you go out for another four almas, you're over Al Yetze Ishmim Komo. What is he going to this whole chop for? And saying, there's no lav, there's only an asay. Why can't you just say, like the Minchas Chinuch? Yeah, it's both. It's like a regular lav of Tchumen. Why is he doing this whole fancy footwork?
You're right. It seems that the Avnei Nezer, for some reason, disagrees with this idea the Minchas Chinuch has.
Right, so I don't think he can be holding like you that in this case, Tosfos Lomdus will fall into play and you're going to get Malkus anyway, because then just learn the Sugya Poshet when you kind of a new Shvisa and you're back to just violating a new Tchum and the regular din of Al Yetze Ishmim Koma and Shvuish Tachtov come into play. Why is he bifurcating it? For what point?
We're just saying how the Michal Skinner knows Dalet Amos. The only makom for Dalet Amos is the assay. It's not Nilos assay. So the Michas Chinuch would have to be learning that he learns the shir of Dalet Amos in the lav from the assay. That's all we're saying. But we're not saying that the Avnei Nezer agrees with that.
Basically, you're right, Shai. I don't think you can say that Avnei Nezer agrees, but this is what I think the defense of the Minchas Chinuch would be against the Avnei Nezer. Okay, I agree. The Avnei Nezer probably would not avail himself of that part. Then you're going to have to work out, according to Avnei Nezer, why it's different from the Taisus and Beitza, which is an interesting question. Why would the Avnei Nezer be so adamant that it's only an assay here? Why doesn't he hold like that Taisus and Beitza that the assay now defines the law, like lo velo ligvaya? So Rav Schechter in his notes on Beitza says there's a Meiri that has a different approach to Taisus. And I don't remember what the Meiri said. But either the Avnei Nezer would take the approach of the Meiri versus Taisus and Beitza, or he would reconcile Taisus and Beitza and say there's a chiluk between lo velo ligvaya and over here. Okay, I just wanted to point that out. But now the Minchas Chinuch is saying, you have this fellow, he's transgressed Tchumim and is now an Amah outside the Tchum. You want to give him Hasra so he doesn't go another Dalet Amos. The Minchas Chinuch now creates a very interesting problem. And you tell me if you understand his problem. Because his problem reminds me of something that I learned in calculus. Tzvi, I know your brother is a PhD in mathematics, correct?
I was a math major, but don't ask me anything. I can't even add two numbers.
I personally will tell you, I can tell you now that I will not understand it.
But this is actually originally a philosophical question of the Greek philosopher Zeno. It's called Zeno's paradox. Anyone familiar with Zeno's paradox? It's usually the first class given in calculus. It has the concept of limits. Basically, how do you ever get somewhere, Zeno said. You never actually can get somewhere. Because as you go, you're getting halfway there, and halfway there, and halfway there. How do you actually ever get to the destination, Zeno wanted to know. And that's the idea of calculus, of being able to define a specific point in time, even though you cannot, get there through the regular mode of calculation. So let's see what the Minchas Chinuch says. V'heyach yisrubo shelo lelech od arba amos. How can you give him a hasra not to go another arba amos? Kevin the holech od ama, because if he goes another ama, birshus, since he's got dalet amos, every ama that he now takes is a permitted ama. And that permitted ama, in theory, should now allow him to give him another dalet amos. Zaycha od ama lahalon. This is a very interesting assumption. His assumption should not only question the idea of Hasra, but it should question the idea of once a person is out of the original Tchum, then he should not be prohibited from doing anything. Because every additional Amma is an Amar Birshus, which now gives him Dalet Amos, correct? And he continued like that ad infinitum. L'chaira, that's the Minchas Chinuch's question. But he's applying it to Hasra. Kevin de Bechol Makom Shahu, Yochol Lelech, correct? Arba Amos. Every time he walks in Amma, it's an Amma Beheter. Then Amma Beheter should now redefine his Makom as another Dalet Amos. So his Gvul keeps expanding. Ubechol Makom Shahu Hailech Zaycha Oi.
But the way I explained it, it's not a problem.
Correct? Yeah, what do you want to say?
The way I tried to explain it before, it precisely takes away this problem. Because what happens is when you go out of your, let's say, Gimel Parsos, which you were kohen before Shabbos. That was your tchum. Once you go out of that, then you're kohen a new shvisa. You're kohen a new makomo. It's just now now the Torah doesn't give you another gimel parsos. It only gives you dalan amos. But just like initially, you were only kohen a gimel parsos. And you don't say, okay, well, when I start working the first half of Parsa, now I get another three Parsas. Why doesn't he have that problem there? Obviously, he doesn't. Well, every time you kohen a shvisa, you have a limited space. If you learn you kohen a new shvisa on Shabbos, that's it. But it's now not a gimel parsos boundary. It's dalet amos. But
I don't
the same way.
I would make another suggestion. We spoke about before. In case another drinks a cup with five revias in it, then it doesn't divide itself. If he drinks five cups, we all assume, okay, that there's five different revias and five different isurim. Here again also, if he walks four amas without stopping, we'll even use Shai's damasal example, it's all one damasal. He walked dalet amas, he's over. He walks one ama and he stops. Then he could be kind, another shvis. It's another damasal, it's another cup and a separate cup. It's a very simple thing. If he just walked dalet amos, he walked dalet amos and he was over, finished.
I don't know. It's hard to follow that.
Why? You never saw people stop at the amos?
We're not talking about a kirin anoko. We're not talking about a kirin anoko over here. We're talking about a person has boundaries where he's allowed to go.
We're not talking about Kira Nocha. He stopped after an Amma. Do you understand what that means?
No, I don't.
You understand a person walks an Amma and stops. You don't understand?
Yeah, a person stops. So you're saying he's kind of streets when he stops.
That's what you're arguing. I just said he didn't walk dalet amos. That's all I said. He stopped.
So?
You have to shoot at somebody.
What's the effect of the stopping?
What?
Why are you talking about stopping or not stopping? What's the difference?
Here the kasha was, how is it possible for a person to be over dalet amos? That means if he didn't stop, he just walked dalet amos. That's all. Very simple. And if he stopped, then the mechitz chinuch is right. Then he's not over. And the way Reb Shai put it down, there's
a damas. A person could just walk right out of his dalet amos.
But it depends if he's
and nobody holds that way. He's restricted all Shabbos to his dalet amos. He can't walk out of it.
He did. We're not talking about what he's allowed to do. He did. The question is, how could he over?
The question is, if he walked out, was he over? The answer is, of course he was. And the question is, why?
Rabin Chassidim Chinuch asked the question, how could he be over? Because he has an amma. So how he wasn't over anything. That's his kasha. And wherever he walks, he keeps having that amma. So you'll never have dalet amos. That's his question.
So you're saying that he could stop and then keep walking, stop and keep walking?
No. The Michal Schinnach is asking a hypothetical calculus question. How is a child, something like that? And I'm saying a very physical, simple thing, which we discussed before, and if I put down, there's such a thing called a domicile, which means that person, when after he does whatever he does, he is now a new hechatimps. It's called a domicile, a new place. So now, one of the ways to define that new place, even if he wasn't over Nissa, he stopped. He stopped after an Amma, and he looked at the scenery, and he spent 15 minutes.
That can't be the case, because forget about this new case. Every time you're over Tchum, you start out before Shabbos on Bein HaShemoshes, you have your town limits. And then you walk 2,000 Amas or Gimel Parsos, you're over. You don't say, okay, according to you, if he walks five amas and then he stops, so he has more than the 2,000 amas because he stopped. Doesn't make a difference that he stopped.
How do you know? I asked you the question with the nozzle with the big cup that has five revias in it. It's one answer. But if he has five separate cups, the agreement by this chabura was there's five separate isur.
No, not at all. Five separate cups are the same thing. Five separate cups are the same isur. It only makes a difference if you have the hasros in between. You can have one cup and five revias and have an hasra after you make one gulp of a revias.
No, sometimes then, you say go for
one cup or five cups.
I'm shy. So then if a person, he got an hasra, don't go out of the tomb, and he went one and he stopped. What happens?
You're not over yet, but when you keep on, then you take a break, you take your drink, you watch the scenery, then you keep on walking. There's no sheer of zman.
Who told you that?
I think that's Pashut. I don't know if anyone disagrees. You're saying the sheer of zman?
No, my friend,
give me the case.
Otherwise, you don't have a chetimsa. This is a teretz. What's wrong with that?
No, that's not his kasha. His kasha is not that you stopped. His kasha is that when you didn't stop, but when you walk one amma, you didn't stop at all. But the second you walked one amma and you're picking up your foot to take the second amma, but the second you walked one amma, he says you turned another four ammas. And then when the nazir drinks
four avias and then one cup, so he's over how many? One or four?
If he had one asra, he's over one.
Okay, so here I'll tell you the same thing. So it depends how many asras he got. Whatever you're going to say there, I'm going to use it over here too. So you got another asra after the first amma, okay? So then you only had one amma. Every amma he gets another asra.
Pinchas Chinuch's question is he doesn't know how to be metzayer the scenario of a second asra. That's his problem. How could you ever give him a second hasra that's effective? Every moment, his dalet amos is now being elongated or is being extended or actually displaced.
Why is it an issue of hasra? Why is it an issue of hasra? Why is it an issue of, let's assume he's correct in his analysis. It's not a question of hasra. It's a question, could you even be over? Is there a limit?
See, we had this discussion before, and we're building on what Reb Shai said vis-a-vis a nozir. That's where the hasra comes in, which the Olam Gada agreed with him.
Okay, good. But I came in late, so could somebody just tell me what he said?
He's on the Zoom. Ask him to say it himself.
No,
I said somebody, so I was offering him.
Which is, forget the Hasra question. How are you ever over even the assay of Dalet Amos?
That's what I was asking.
Every time you take a step, oh, a magic new Amma is added.
Why? Where does he get that assumption that a new Amma is added?
That's what I don't understand.
Where does he get that assumption?
I don't know. I think it's a very weird assumption.
It's the weirdest thing I've ever heard of it.
Spending a long time thinking about what is he thinking, because you'll see he changes his mind.
Oh, thank God.
Listen to what he answers. Umishkachas lo b'kayfetz mimakom shehu chutz la'arba amos. Eino chinami. O chutz l'shte amos l'shitos hana. Mi eino chinami. If it was a pace and a walk, he would never be over, ever, an additional esetchum. It has to be with a kvitza, where in one act of jumping, he accomplishes the displacement of arba amos. First of all, it's very modern that this is the case. Secondly, does this remind you of anything? Any of you Masechus Shabbos people, does this remind you of anything?
Zarek, it reminds me of Zarek.
Come on, the sheet of Benaza, he holds what?
Mahalach Ka'imidami.
Excellent. Mahalach Ka'imidami. So the Gemara asks, according to Benaza, Mahalach Ka'imidami, how are you ever over the Isser of Mavir Dalet Amos Peshus HaRabim?
Kaifetz.
So the Gemara says, B'kaifetz. This is an answer the Gemara in Shabbos uses, B'kaifetz. But the Minchas Chinuch says, mahalech, but if you would just be pacing and walking, lo mishkachas lo, kevan de arba amos holech b'shus. That's an important point. Since the full length of those arba amos are all done with permission, v'yochol lelech lahalon, correct? You therefore are then extended. Since all you're doing is permissible, it then would give you, right, the ability to now have another Amma Gam Ken Birshus. Rak Bekoifetz Mishpachasla. Kay Nira, now this is unbelievable. Kay Nira Pashat. This is the furthest thing from Pashat that I know. Okay. Matter, you will even say in a moment it's not Pashat.
He's going to reject it in a second. But L'chayre, the Havamina is from the Pasuk of Veshavu Ish Tachtav. What that Pasuk is saying is wherever you are, you have Arba Amos. Let's just say for argument's sake, L'chol Ruach, because there are different shitas about what it means exactly. Wherever you are, you have Arba Amos. So as soon as you move Vaita, you have Vaita Arba Amos. It's not. He's going to reject it, but it's a good Havamina. It's a good Havamina because once you're outside of your makom, you left your original makom, you left your shalosh parsos. Now all of a sudden you have a new formula of a shavu ish tachtav. Wherever your tachas is, you got arba amos. Okay, so I move a little vaita. I vaita. It's a moving arba amos. It's a good Havamina.
It's tachtav, but it's not shvisa.
That's the point. It's not.
It doesn't become the makom shvisa.
The Havamina is that it's not Kinyan Makam Shvisa, it's Veshavu Ish Tachtav. Wherever you are, you have Arba Amos.
And then you're over again and you get a new Makam Shvisa, but you're over.
No.
You only get it one time.
No, not true. You'll see. Even the Maskana, it's not true.
He just proved it because when you're walking, if you go to the boundary of your Gmul, the Gmul of the Erev, right? And then you walk. Could you walk another foot? 2 feet? No, you're over right away, right?
Right. First Amma, you walk out, you're done.
You shouldn't be over. It shouldn't be over.
No, because you left.
Have a new makom. You have a new makom. You should have 4 feet. But you don't.
No, you left your makom, you were over, for sure. Now the question is, once you're outside that makom, what restricts you at this point? The only thing that restricts you is the shovel you walk out again,
but you're over again.
No, but you left your makam. Your makam is done, finished. You're outside your makam.
Now you left your makam again.
Your makam was three parsos earlier, and you left. You breached the three parsos. You're done. Now the only thing that restricts you is v'shavu ish tachtav, and that is his conundrum is that should be a moving target.
Avrami, let me tell you. Let me explain it a different way. I think it's what you're saying. When before Shabbos, you have your Gimel Parsos. Now the thing is that you went outside the Gimel Parsos, and I think the Midas Chinuch will agree, like I said before, that you're going to be possible to get another Malkus because you're going to be kind of a new Shvisas Malkum. The question is, the Midas Chinuch Havamina Maskana is, when are you kind of, and that new Shvisas Malkum is 4 Amos away after the Gimel Parsos. The question is, when are you kind of that Shvisas Malkum of 4 Amos away? In his Havamina, he holds that you're only kind of that Shvisas Malkum 4 Amos away when you get to that point 4 Amos away. So now he has Zeno's paradox. But since I'm only kind of that Shvisas when I got 4 Amos away, every time I walk an Amma, it keeps on extending the 4 Amos away. In his Maskana, he'll hold that, no, when I go out to my Gimel Parsos, at that point of Gimel Parsos in 1 centimeter, right now I'm kind of Shvisa 4 Amos away. So it doesn't matter now that I walk another Amma. I was already kind of Shvisa 4 Amos away. And when I get to that 4 Amos away and 1 centimeter, I'm over. The conundrum is when am I kind of that Shvisa 4 Amos away? In his Havamina, he holds, I'm only kind of when I get there. So he says, then I have a paradox. Every time I walk an Amma, my 4 Amos is being extended.
Listen, I don't want to muddy the waters, but how, Chaim, think about this for 1 second. Let's say he steps out of his Gimel Parsos, and then he goes back into his Gimel Parsos. I don't know that's the next paragraph
of the Menuchas Chinuch.
Oh, okay. All right.
But I am just like schmecking here and smelling that this argument between Tzvi and Avrami might be the argument between the Avnei Nezer and the Menuchas Chinuch.
Maybe. Could be.
Oh, you understand? How connected is Shavu Ish Tachtav to Al Yetzer Ish Mim Kaima? Avrami, you want to differentiate between those two in a major way, correct?
Arguably, yes. I mean, I want to entertain that possibility for sure.
If you actually separate Shavu Ishtakhtav from Al Yetzeh, and they are Isurim in totally different veins and in totally different ways, then you could understand the Avinezer. It's not Megala on the Lav at all. Therefore, no Malkus. But if, like the Minchas Chinuch, possibly, that the actual Shavu Ishtakhtav is an extension of the original Al Yetzeh and has the same parameters, then I can understand why you'd get Malkus. It's a Gilui on the original Isser Al Yetzeh. So let's see what he says now. And now all of you can argue. I'm sure that you will each argue the Minchas Chinuch is saying what you meant. Okay, right, Nisir Shavti, after thinking about it, the Minchas Chinuch goes ahead and does away with his original Havamiyah, which I can't understand, but Avrami says is valid. The Gam b'mahalach shayach zeh, meaning I don't have to get into kfitza. The take of Zocha ba'arba amos, that as soon as he leaves the tchum and the pasuk gives him arba amos, umasrinan sha'over al mitzvahs ha'tayra im yelech yosu me'arba amos, and I immediately give him a hasra not to go more than arba amos. By the way, if you have to give him a hasra, I was thinking of this, if you hold like Rashi and Shavuos, that you have to delineate for him the actual lav or iser that he's over, now what would you be masra him on these arba amos? Do you say to him, you're now over Al Yetzeh again? Or do you say to him, you're now over Shavu Ishtakhtav? What do you think the hasra has to be? Meaning you need to give him a hasra for the next arba amos outside the tchum. Av shezoicher acher kach. Even if he would get, in theory, leaving these arba amos, another arba amos, ach be'emez zeh shibush. What I was thinking before is not correct. The be'yoyser me'arba, right? Amos halalu shenit alo ha'toyra rishus lelech eino zoche klal. He's attacking his assumption. I'm giving these four and no more. There's no ability for me to move these four amos around. The afilu, right, who eitzel ama haravias, even if he's going beheter and has traversed all the first three amos, and all that he has left is the one ama, still he's limited by that one ama. Also, Lot says lahalon, ki ha'torah nitnalo, Rishus rak arba amos. Im kein tekef kesha yotza loike al hayitziyah. V'im hisru bo shelo yelech chutzla arba amos. V'yotza gam kein yilke. Ki oiver, correct, because he's oiver al halav shirak oisen arba amos. Right? Zichta loy toira, velo yoiser, v'zeh pashut. Now this is pashut. Ach zeh pashut, de'ein loike b'chol pam, rak im yotza ha'arba amois. Ach im yotza ha'arba amois, shezichta lo toira, im kein la'achar, ha'arba amos vaday zichtalo Torah od arba amos. Im kein ein loike al kol ama kevon de mutter lelech arba amos lahalon. V'loike im yotza chutzla arba amos halol. V'chein kol pam. Meaning he's saying that the equivalent of a Nazir being Shoisa, a Kezias, and then another Kezias, and getting Hasra before each Kezias or Revias, is someone who's yotzei chutz l'tchum, who now transgresses arba amos. Every arba amos after the tchum would be a new set of malkus. This is like a trivia question. What lav in the Torah does the shear for malkus change? By a nozer, the shear for malkus remains the same. Revius, revius. Or by achila, it's kazayas, kazayas. By tchum, you have an anomaly. The original shear for the first malkus is either alpayim amo or gimel parsois. But right after that, the Torah's mechadesh in v'shavu ishtachtav, you now have a new shear for the lav of dalet amos. V'chein p'chol pam. V'chein p'chol pam. Haklal b'makom right. Sha'oimid hatorot zichtolo rak arba amos. Uba'oisana arba amos. And in those four amos, he has a reshutz, correct? Yeshlo arba amos, right? Sorry. Loi, am I, sorry. Arba amos halo. V'chein b'chol pam upam. V'zeh posh. V'tzorech what? Lahas rois boi b'chol pam. Shlo yele chutz la arba amos shaloi. Kamo benozir. Just like by nozir, which I mentioned is a Mishnah in Makas Chafal Vamadav. Very nice. So this is a fascinating idea. New trivia question.
In summary, what? What is he saying?
In summary, he seems to be saying that the Torah doesn't give you more than four amos at any particular time. And you cannot transfer or say I have more than dalet amos at any time. So since I've got the first dalet amos, that's a compact area, and I cannot create any new dalet amos as long as I am in that compact area.
So who was saying that before? Who was saying that before?
But now that I've left this compact area, I do have a new dalet amos. But since I've left the first Dalet Amos, that's Mechayev Malkus. Meaning I will continue to get a new Dalet Amos, but that new Dalet Amos will not expand or take into account the next Dalet Amos until I have traversed that Dalet Amos. Therefore, there's a Chayev Malkus each time
right.
I traverse the Dalet Amos.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.